PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is one of a probably favored guest of the pod at this point, very popular THPer as well. His name's Michael Verska. He is of Callaway fame. Michael, welcome back.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that I'm favored. There's not too many places I can say that about. THP is at least I believe it's one of them, so thanks for that.
The only reason I'm saying that is because every time someone has an interesting Callaway thought on the forum, they always say, hey, get Verska on the podcast to talk about this. It's like, man, that's pretty high praise from the guys over there.
And then every 9 to 15 months, we make that happen. So we aim to please occasionally. It's perfect.
Yeah, I think I remember that one of the first ones we did, you're like, hey, I'd love to do this anytime you want to, just not every week. You really set it in stone there.
Yeah, I love you. I love the THP. I love JB. But yeah, every week would be a bit much for me. And I like to keep a little bit of Verska goes a long way, I found.
Well, how are you, my friend? It's been a while.
I'm doing great. SoCal's been good. All the weather here, our 12 months of golf. And living here, we get a little more family visits. Suddenly, my brothers like to visit me instead of begging me to visit them. So yeah, it's been good.
Awesome. I've been following a little bit of social from you. It seems like you're playing a fair bit of golf too.
I play a lot for me, which is every Saturday. We're recording this middle of September. It's going to drop in a week or two, I'm assuming, but my brother will be here in about 24 hours and we're going to play. He found some cheap flights and we're going to play 72 holes in less than 72 hours. So I'll up that quickly. I'm normally early group every Saturday morning and then, occasionally otherwise. But, 60 rounds a year is the goal, and I'm on pace to exceed that. So, all good.
So what is your take on that when someone rolls in and says, let's play as much golf as possible? Are you super down? Are you like, listen, 18 a day is enough? Where do you stand there?
For the right course, I'm all in for 36. Fortunately, there aren't that many courses that I'm up for that with. And, it's tough when, somebody goes, hey, I fly in on Tuesday morning and I leave Thursday night. How much vacation can I really take for, that? But this brother, we've played this for a while, and he's fun to play with. So, I do my best, but, I do have a day job, and they expect me to show up and actually get work done and not just play golf, so. I try to find that fine line, happy medium.
So I saw something on your Twitter that said you had like four straight rounds of at or better than 4 hours for public golf play. That's a pretty remarkable stat, all things considered.
It didn't used to be. When I lived in the Midwest, that was normal. But yeah, I had four straight weeks of Saturday morning in Southern California at 4-ish hours, 11 when I think actually was 4:02 on my Arcos app. So but it was pretty great. And I honestly don't know what caused it, because if I did, I'd keep that going. There's been a nice little uptick. I don't know if it's football. I don't know if it's school getting back in session. I don't know if it's, we are, Carlsbad, Oceanside, San Diego is a vacation destination. Obviously, school's back in session. So I don't know if it's, more of the locals are playing now and they want to get back home rather than, go to the beach or go to something else. But I wasn't able to play this past Saturday. So we'll see if we can continue that streak three times here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, it seems like depending on where you are in the country and what part of the day you play in, that sort of 4 hour number is almost a unicorn experience to get it. So it's also a big selling feature to my wife about having a private membership, is that it guarantees pace of play is actually regulated rather than ignored. So I'll tell you what, hopefully she doesn't listen to this episode. I'll say that for the first time.
I actually did it on Twitter. I did a deep dive on pace of play a year or two ago, and I actually posted a bunch of stuff on Twitter. It's not always the player's fault, right? A big factor is tee time spread. A big factor is rough height. A big factor is pin placement and green speeds. Now, having said that, most of the time when we're playing in 4.5 hours in Southern California, I think it's human golfer error, not course setup. But courses do have a big factor, right? And those are USGA and all their data, MGF. Again, it really comes down to tee time interval, rough height, green speed, and pin locations are four big factors that can be controlled. But everybody else, my two favorite things, play without delay and play well, play fast, play poorly, play faster. So,
yeah. Nice. Well, what's going on with you at Callaway? You've obviously had a busy year. There's some awesome product flowing out of HQ down there. How's it been for you?
It's been a great year. AI Smoke, from a metalwood perspective, has really had an outstanding year from a fitting perspective, from a tour perspective. Everybody knows this is an Apex year finally. So, we've got the carryover Apex line from Pro and CB and MB, and now with the AI 200, AI 300, as well as the, shocker to many, the Ty Fusion, with the AI Smoke irons. And those did very well early in the year. So, it's been a banner year really across the board. Opus wedges were out to a really hot start. The number of blue wedges we sold is mind-boggling. So people really got into that finish specifically, and all the wedges, but really the blue has been shocking for us indoors, and obviously continues to be the number one putter out there. So a lot of good stuff going on. We can fit all of it and try to convince people to go get fit for all of it. So that keeps me busy.
Yeah, I remember sitting at, standing, I guess you could say, hitting balls at ECPC with you last year, having a ton of fun going through AI Smoke. And that was coming off a year where I actually had a lot of success with Paradigm, and I was like super convinced that I was just going to stay with that head and not make the switch. And then we were hitting it, and I said, yeah, okay, I kind of get it. I see it. This is better. Like kicking and screaming, you're sort of laughing at me like, obviously it's better, Dan, but... has the overall wave of golfers who've got to experience it had that same sort of reality as they go through it, saying like, man, this really is a nice step up, and said wasn't lost on sound when I said that Paradigm was the greatest sounding driver ever.
Yeah, I appreciate all those comments, and it has been a good year. I was just talking to another social media influencer. I don't know if he'd like that title, so I'm not gonna say it out loud, but just talking to him about, he's thinking about upgrading, and he was hemming and hawing. And I said, hey, listen, take your gamer, go get fit, and make the fitter prove it, right? You hit the shots, do your best, and let the data speak for itself. But be upfront, tell the fitter, hey, I'm going to buy if this is better, but I'm not sure it's going to be, right? I say that over and over again. We want people to make educated, good buying decisions and buy golf clubs that fit their swing and their game. And so you experience that, right? Like, you're like, oh, I love my driver. There's no way I'm going to switch. And then you experienced it and had that, wow, the sound, wow, the forgiveness factor, wow, the speed. With the speed, a slight speed gain, a big forgiveness gain, it looks better, it sounds better, right? So consumers need to make those decisions on their own. We produce amazing product. We try to play leapfrog, if you will. Every product gets a little bit better. Certainly some years we have bigger quantum leaps, but every year, that is one of the things that Chip Brewer and the R&D team and everybody here at Callaway, we stress is, we're moving technology, we're moving innovation, we're moving product performance forward. But go get fit, bring your gamer, and let the data decide. And it's your money. You deserve that. So ECPC is a little bit different. It was a THP event. I don't think you brought your wallet too much for that, but lots of players don't have that benefit, right? And we honor and respect their hard-earned money and their hard-earned decision, and prove it. We're not afraid.
It's always interesting to have a conversation where you're just openly saying, put it up against your gamer, let's see what happens. There have been some scenarios where it seems like these companies and when I say these companies, a company would prefer to fit into a box, like don't bring your clubs. Or another example is these crazy infographics where there's the little asterisks at the bottom that it had to fit in this tiny window of speed or style to outperform a bunch of competitors. it's refreshing to have the conversation and says, hey, bring your gamer. If it beats it, it beats it. And our belief is that hopefully it will. But, you know, there's a willingness to not be afraid to compete against others. And I love hearing companies talk that way.
Well, I'm glad you say that. And, you know, all of our fitting events, you know, the word demo day, you have to pay me a dollar. It's a bad word around here. But all of our fitting events, with our online signups, when we send the reminder, who is you, right? Where, when, but, you know, what we actually put in there, please bring your, you know, please wear golf shoes, bring a glove and bring your current golf club. I don't think I'm allowed to call them gamers on official documents, but yeah, we tell them to bring those clubs. Again, we want people to make educated decisions. And we actually think that's a sales tool, right? You don't have to go, well, you know, I don't know if it's better or how much better. It's right there. And if you choose not to because it's not better, that's not your fault. That's on us. We're ready for that challenge. We're ready to take off the competition. We're ready to, again, play leapfrog and what's better for Dan and Susie and Bill and Tommy and Jan or whoever.
Yeah, I want to sort of jump forward to a question I had later, but one of the things that you have been pretty consistent about is asking golfers their perspective on things, your Twitter polls, or I guess you call them X polls at this point. But I'm curious to know, this is something that keeps coming up, and I've seen it on THP a lot, where golfers who aren't directly in tune with this whole thing go and get fit and just have their socks knocked off because the getting a proper fitting alone is going to promote a massive gain on either distance or spin or control or, you know, workability, whatever it is they might be looking for. There's a definitive benefit to going and getting fit. We're constantly proving that in some of these events we've had, as well as examples like the Granddaddy or the Go Cup or something like that with Callaway. So my question to you is, with these Twitter polls, I would imagine fitting has been a component of it. Does it surprise you, or even the data that you get on a daily basis, does it surprise you how many of these golfers are that, with respect to the game, clueless as to what perfectly fits them or perfectly suits them?
That's a good question. I'm going to answer it a couple different ways. First of all, thanks for calling my Twitter polls. We're about at the 100th Twitter poll, and they actually all started off as fitting questions. Okay. And I've actually now meandered into obviously many other topics. Tune in every Monday morning for Golf Fitter Poll, Monday Golf Poll on Twitter, on X. I don't think golfers are clueless, and I know you just chose that word flippantly, didn't mean that. But we have lots of data of who's getting fit, right? And unfortunately, there's still a contingent out there who think, you know, that they're not good enough to get fit, or fitting doesn't matter, or they got fit 8 years ago, so they're all set. The hardcore golfers, people like you, many on THP, I would say probably most, vast majority, have seen the benefit. But when we talk to those, that other group, the people, again, who I'm not good enough, or it doesn't really matter, or I got fit 8 years ago and it wasn't a good experience. Well, first of all, every fitting experience should be a good experience. So if it's not, that's on the fitter. Share that information in real time. Hey, I'm nervous. This isn't going well. What you just said makes sense. I don't understand the data. Good fitters will take that and make it a positive experience for you. Now, as for the performance gains, I think people are still shocked. Again, if they haven't been fit for a while, if they've never been fit, you know, a good fitting is going to maximize the good things that you do, but more importantly, minimize the poor things that you do. So, I was just listening to John Sherman and Scott Fawcett actually earlier today. They did a really nice job talking about decade and course management and some things. And, you know, I'm paraphrasing an hour and a half, but, you know, it really comes down to, if you want to score better, it's minimizing your bad shots. You know, really, if you get down to how do I lower my handicap, it's less double bogeys, it's less shots out of bounds, it's less multiple chips, it's less three putts. All of those things they were talking about, I'm like, we can help that with fitting. Because everyone's good shots are good enough for them to score well. Right. Everybody goes home and thought, oh, I left 3 or 4 out there, or maybe I left 10 out there or 20 out there, right? Whatever you are saying. But it's those bad shots that fitting can really help with. You hit a big slice, great. You're probably still going to hit a cup, but let us get a driver that gets the right loft, the right face angle, the right weighting, both head and shaft, the right length, to minimize that curvature and getting the right, even the right bulge and roll, getting the right head that has that, so we can get the ball and keep it in play more often, right? Oh, you know, I'm terrible at chipping. Well, is it you or is it the bounce that you select on your wedges? My guess, it's probably a little both, right? I'm being very honest. If you just grab the wedge from 10 years ago and it's got way too little bounce or way too much bounce, that's going to make life hard on you. So, you know, a good fitting is always going to make your best shots better. But a great fitting is going to make those poor shots more consistent, better, and occur less often. So, you know, again, when Xander Schauffele comes in here, when Rose Zane comes in here, you know, we're fighting for literally like 0.1 strokes gained, right? How do we get them from 69.8 to 69.7 stroke average? If we get a 90 shooter in here, we can legitimately get 3, 4, 5, 8 shots off their game, depending on how old their technology is, how poorly they were fit. So it's much easier to help golfers who haven't been fit. It's much easier to help golfers in bigger ways who maybe aren't as good at players. And again, I've talked about this on Twitter X a billion times. You know, again, everyone out there who's listening, your swing is way more consistent than you think. Now, your face angle probably isn't. Your low point control may not be. But your golf swing is way more consistent than you want to believe. So a fitting can help virtually everyone out there.
Well, let me take that to the other extreme, since I flippantly sent off the folks who don't bother getting fit. How about I don't want to say attack. You know what? Let's say attack.
Okay.
What about the guys who think they know what they should be fit into? What about the guys who said, I've played this shaft for 25 years or this shaft for 10 years and it's just what works for me? How do you get them away from that? And I'll give you a prime example as I make fun of myself or attack myself here.
Yeah.
We sat back and I've been playing Project XLS for a couple years now in the irons and have been really satisfied with the results I've gotten out of it. And prior to that, I was playing the KBS Tour Vs, and I played them for a long time and had a lot of success with it. While we were at ECPC hitting the new Apex CBs, which I ended up getting fit into, I went for fun and grabbed Tour Vs, and we hit, you know, 4 or 5 shots of it. We both kind of chuckled. It's like, that's so far away from what works for you now. So going back into X or LS is like, okay, now you're back in the window that really performs for you. So let's say a guy comes in and says, I've been using this shaft for 10 years or this shaft for 20 years, and you can clearly see him fighting to make it work. Like, how do you get that mentality out of a golfer?
So that's a great question, and I'm going to answer it a little odd way. First of all, people switch shafts way more than they should. So first of all, I love the fact that I played KBS, and you said for a number of years, then you played Project LS for a number of years. First of all, that's great, right? If you have something that works, stick with it, and then here's the key, until it doesn't, or until something's better. So, you know, I've posted this many times. I'm playing the same iron shaft for 13 years. They are getting rid of that soon, so I'm going to have to make a switch. I've toyed with a couple things this year, and I think I know what I'm going to go to come January, February, December, whenever I build a new set. So first of all, again, there's nothing wrong. There's shafts that, and I know some people are going to blow up at this, but the shafts fit players. Now there are head differences, right? Like, oh, this is low spin head versus, but if you're taking two heads that are generally the same with, from a CG perspective, from an eye perspective, the player is going to be the big driver, a huge driver, for, not the golf club, but the driver of the shaft, right? So if you find something that works, stick with it. I mean, how many pros have only played Dynamic Gold their entire career and they've been with 6 different club manufacturers, right? Why? Because that shaft works for their delivery. So I love the fact that you said, I played this for a number of years and played this for a number of years. That's great. More players should do that until it doesn't work or until you see something better. And the thing I liked about you and our experience was you admitted, you said, wow, this is clearly better, right? And you made that switch. The problem comes, I fear, when especially players who are getting older or losing speed or flexibility, who won't get away from a stiff flex or who won't get away from an X flex or who won't try graphite because they still have a 20-year-old view of what a graphite shaft is. You know, my driver swing speed is kind of 108 to 112 right now, and I've been playing graphite shafts for 13 years of my irons. In fact, I've been playing 13 graphite shafts for at least 12 years now, right? Graphite has come a long way. So, again, I love the fact that players want to stick with something. That's actually a positive, in my opinion, until something's better or until something changes. Maybe you've gone through a full swing overhaul and it's time for a change. Maybe you've gotten a little older and you've lost speed. Maybe you've went from, you know, some really small, almost blade style irons, and you're like, man, I don't practice anymore my ball striking, and now I'm going to a big oversized cavity pack. That's a big change. You should look at shafts then again. So again, if there's something better or if there's a big change, switch. At least for THPers, my guess is they switch way more often than they should, especially when they go to the, hey, have you tried this shaft? And somebody posts, well, I've only tried these 14 of them in the last month. So that's fun, and if people should continue to do that, that's fun to do. But if you're trying to shoot your best scores, find what works, stick with it until there's something better or something changes.
So that actually goes into my third question here, since we haven't corrupted the mind yet completely. What about the shaft that everyone says you have to try, and so you do it, and you're too stubborn to move away? And I feel like that was a little bit too loaded, so let me give you a primary. Let's say it's a shaft that's making massive waves on tour. We've seen it with a number of different heads. Hazardous is a good example. Ventus is a good example, even though Ventus, you know, has a couple different versions that make it work. But let's say a guy is just obsessive about it and says, you have to play this. This is the shaft that'll work. I think there's a lack of recognition there that each golfer is different, or maybe a lack of consideration there that not only, like, regardless of whether your swing speed's the same, your delivery is going to be different. Your timing is going to be different. There are components to a golf swing that are fundamentally different player to player. So when you have someone just trumpeting a single shaft or a single style, what do you say to that?
Well, I think you asked a great question and you answered most of it yourself, but you're right. Just because you and your buddy are both 8 handicaps and both have a 7-iron swing speed of 82 miles an hour, you could need very different shaft weights, shaft flexes, and even in the same club head. So I think a lot of that, what you just described, going to come down to ego, right? It's not that much different than somebody who comes in and says, well, I really need to hit those blades. Well, great. You can hit them.
You can try.
They're almost for sure not for you, because unless we're giving you a staff bag with your name on it for free, they're probably not for you. So I think a lot of that comes down to ego. I know there's a number of golfers, and there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, my favorite player on tour, or I saw 10 guys on tour playing the shaft, I want to try it. There's nothing wrong with that. But be open to what's the right weight for you. Maybe you saw a black or a white version. Hey, you know, I've seen you swing enough. I've seen the data. Let's try the red version at 50 grams in an R flex, right? So I think when it's like, I need this very one, that's an ego-driven play. But people do it with, well, I need the lowest spinning, you know, some of my favorite, I need the lowest spinning driver you have. I need the lob wedge with the lowest bounce that you have, right? We still get those type comments. They're fewer and more far between. But that's the same vein as, I need to try this shaft because my buddy likes it. I need this shaft because I saw it on tour this weekend. Those are ego-driven, not performance-driven. And there's nothing wrong with asking. And I think, you know, if you're going to a fitting, by all means, hey, I really want to try that. That's a fair thing to ask your fitter. But then look at the data and please trust your fitter. But again, it's your money. You get to be the judge. You know, if you really want that 70 gram X flex that you can't get off the ground, more power to you.
And look at your average, not your best, damn it.
Thank you so much.
I feel like we haven't even begun to scratch the surface on what is exciting from Callaway this year, even though we've sort of tangled through the web of Apex there a little bit. I hit Typhusion twice now, and I have to think that Typhusion is a crazy conversation around the office because it's so unique. But I have a bit of a story to tell you, Michael, if you will indulge me with some time here. So I actually hit it on the range during a demo day with range balls, which are firmer. And I hit it with a one shaft option, which we would probably both agree swinging it was not a great choice for me. So I didn't really get a fully robust experience with it. And up until I hit it for the second time with a fairly stout shaft on course, no less. And oh my God, those, those irons are obnoxious. They, like, if you hit them well, don't get me wrong, they are hard to hit. But if you hit those things well, they are crazy how you can hit them. I'm blown away.
Yeah, they are a, you know, they are a big quantum leap in technology. Scott Manwaring, who some of these, some of you guys may have known or heard him speak, he runs our iron R&D, and this has been a pet project of his for, I think, close to a decade now. Obviously, you know, lots of, not as a product like his Type Fusion, but hey, how do I get this titanium face? How do we get something that's amazing into whatever steel body, right? Those two materials don't want to live in harmony together for a number of reasons. Won't go into all of them here. So this has been something him and his team have been passionate about for, again, close to a decade, and worked on. And then, you know, got the technology to work in such a way, and then refined it into what we now know as Type Fusion. And it is it's our most advanced technology iron, arguably ever. To have a titanium face, to have a forged steel body for the sound and feel, the urethane microspheres, the brazing to combine those two, and durable, to get the launch and spin right, to have an AI smart face. I mean, it's kitchen sink. You know, we are throwing everything at it. Now, having said that, is it for every player on earth? The answer is still no, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't have MB, CB, Pro, AI 200, AI 300, right? But for the right player, and the right player is pretty broad. The right player is definitely low single digits in, I hate, we don't fit off handicap. I'm just speaking in generalities here. So before I finish the sentence, I want to get my own asterisk on it. But, you know, players with deliveries, consistency from, you know, low single digit scratch all the way up to the mid teens, again, with the right delivery. If you've got a lot of speed, the one player it might not be for is generally really high spin players. But again, if you like really forgiving, really fast, with great descent angle and great spin, again, the one exception may be really high spin players. Those players, we probably would want to look at AI 200 or 300, but virtually everybody else, Type Fusion is just an incredible combination of distance, control, performance. It's pretty amazing. We could literally do a whole hour pod on that if we wanted to.
It was a wild ride. And I thought my commentary would be an interesting one, because I had a shaft that had the timing wrong. I was hitting range balls, which aren't particularly fun to hit for sound and feedback. It wasn't until I got a good solid setup in there that I really got to experience Type Fusion for what they are. They sound wild. They sound really good. It's not what I would expect, but it's also not what I would expect. I know that's such a loaded comment, but I think you have to go hit them to experience them to say, like, man, when I really connect with that thing, that sounds better and different than most of my experience. And yeah, you know, especially for the longer irons, like I toyed a little bit with the mid to low irons, but then it was like getting to those 6, 5, and 4 and like just standing up. And I'm going to put a number here. I know it doesn't really help people to put a number here, but with a little wind at my back, I'm standing there 240 from the pin. I'm like, screw it, I'll grab the 4 iron. And I hit this pretty okay 4 iron with the wind helping me. And it's like practically pin high. It's just like, where did these things come from? And where are they going to go from here? So, you know, super loaded comment there, but I want to get your take from the perspective of fitting, but also the perspective of future stuff. Like, this has to excite you to see something like this come down the pipe. It's a special year for Apex, being 10 years. It's got to be exciting to think, if this is what they're doing now, what are they going to do in 2 years or 4 years or 5 years? And how much fun am I going to have then?
Yeah. Well, I already know what we're working on for next year. I've seen a lot of it. We are very excited, but we can say that all the time, right? We're, because of having amazing people with a ton of experience, the number of people who have 20 plus, 25 plus years experience around here is really impressive. And then couple that with you know, our leadership, and I know this is such a buzzword now, and I think there's AI-driven toothpaste, and I know it's everywhere, right? But our ability for artificial intelligence and machine learning and really the ability to combine real player data with our digital analytics from CAD and lots of stuff I can't talk about, to combine all of that in that helps us design face. And the amount of work done on the sound of these irons is pretty impressive, right? Because that's a tie face you're hitting. Not just, you know, we did on AI 200 and 300 as well, but the tie fusion, right? We have this forged body, but we also have a titanium face. And how does that work together? We have this brazing material that holds it connected. So the earth, a microsphere. So yeah, we are super bullish on the future, but that's true every year, right? We're trying to do that leapfrog that we mentioned, but we do think we have a competitive advantage, both from the people we have here, which are amazing. I'm blessed to work with, we get some just really smart, passionate golf people. Hopefully they feel the same way about me occasionally. But we do have, from a data analytics, from a computing standpoint, a competitive, we feel we have a competitive advantage. We know exactly what everyone else has, but we're pretty confident on that.
I think people are going to have a lot of fun with Tie Fusion. I understand it's not going to be for everyone. As you mentioned, there's a skill gap that might exist there. There's also a skill gap on the other side where, personally, they go awfully far when you hit them hard. So some of those really hard swing guys might not need them. But what I love about it is they're part of a pretty significant lineup at this point where you have Apex for every player, it seems like. And that's an exciting thing. It was fun to hit the Pro Series late last year and really dive in. And personally, I think that's where I would likely live. And one of my favorite irons of the year has been the Apex Pro 5 iron that I've been hitting and loving. But you know, to have these three additional heads fall in line with that name on it, I feel like you go into a fitting with a ton of confidence you'll find a product that'll really work for each golfer.
Yeah, so I'm going to answer it two ways and try to keep them semi-coherent. So yeah, obviously Apex is our flagship iron, right? We believe in the product. And we believe every player should have the sound and feel that eureka, that wow moment at impact, whatever your head delivery is. And we think we have an Apex iron for virtually every player out there. It is a robust lineup. We have six irons in the Apex family. There are three in the Pro Series you mentioned, CBMB Pro, and then three in you know, the what performance series or what we launched this year, AI 200, 300, and Tie Fusion. Having said that, from a fitting perspective, it is great, right? Because we are confident we can have that in. And over the next, you know, 6 to 12 months, we're going to have some new tools to help people even more consistently, confidently get dialed in to the right iron for them, whether it's Apex or another one. But not only that, continue to help fitters and help consumers understand where the breaking point is. You know, Dan, I wouldn't, you know, hopefully I'm not giving anything away. We did have a very brief text exchange about Tie Fusion, and then we decided we're going to save it for this pod. So I didn't know some of this was coming. Hopefully that not pulling the curtain back too much. But I did learn a lot today, right? But I was a little surprised when you said that just because your swing speed is elite from an amateur level. But, you know, is that the thing where, and you mentioned the Apex Pro 5 iron, you know, is this the type of thing where you need a Tie Fusion 3 and 4? I know your love of hybrids and fairway woods, allegedly. You know, so is there a long iron combination, right, that helps you in the Tie Fusion, then you get into Pro, and then you get into CB, right? There certainly we do some of that now, and I think we do a good job, but I know that we can do a better job. We can help fitters do a better job. We can make it easier for them. So that's something that we're, you know, excited about in the future. We're not quite there yet. There's a lot of data gathering. We want to make that a great experience. But things like having six sets of Apex irons allow us to do things in a fitting environment, or will allow us to do things in a fitting environment. That's going to help everybody. Again, it helps the fitter. It makes their jobs easier and better. It helps the consumer to understand it more. It helps them to be more confident. Well, wow, I guess I now understand why the 8 iron should be this and the 7 iron should be that. I didn't realize that. Wow, that does help my gapping. The face, you know, I do need a little more MOI in this club compared to that club based on my strike location or spin consistency or whatever it is for your head delivery. So, the Apex series, you know, from the 200, that's going to be the workhorse. That AI 200 is really, really good. I'm going to tell a really quick story. You get to tell stories. It's your show, but I'm going to tell one quick one. Nick McAnally, I think many of everybody on here know, runs marketing for us. He was at an event, and I still know the whole story. He didn't have, I guess he didn't have all his irons. He got some of them out to go to the range and didn't have the full bag. I still know all the details. But basically, need a set of irons. And Tim Reed, who runs R&D and Tour for Callaway, had a prototype set of AI 200s in. And Nick's a scratch player, one handicap, really good player. Not somebody off the top shelf you'd think, oh, it'd be perfect for AI 200. He took these out of Tim's trunk and absolutely played a phenomenal round. And obviously now he's got the set actually built for his specs with his shaft and length and loft line of it. But, you know, here's Nick, who's a really good player, but, you know, he's got kids in soccer and whatever else his kids are doing right now. He doesn't practice much anymore. He doesn't get to play nearly as often as he'd like. So he's but very skilled still. So he's using that technology in AI-200 for him to not practice as much and still go out and shoot good scores. So, you know, when we talk about fitting, you know, obviously the head delivery is a major part of it. But those questions we ask in the pre-fit interview, you know, do you take lessons? How often do you practice? How often do you get to play? Those do and can and should factor in. Now, again, this is an example of borderline desperation pulling clubs out of someone's trunk. But it would have happened in a real world fitting. Well, tell me about your game, Nick. Well, I only get to play twice a month. My kids are in this. I work a lot. I travel. Tell me about your game. Let's see the head delivery. Let's try these AI 200. He would have seen that in the data. And now he's seeing it in real life on the course. So again, the AI 200 is really a workhorse. And again, there's more players who can and should be playing that than they probably think. AI 300 is again, that great for that more forgiving, the player who's, you know, missing the center of the face more often. You know, really needs that forgiveness, but wants that sound and feel, wants to be an iron they're super proud of. If you look down at the AI 200 and 300, they're reasonably small packages size-wise, especially for the performance and especially for the sound and feel. So, yeah, it's a great year. We're continue to be super excited about Apex, and we'll continue to do other cool things too.
Well, one of the things we didn't ask yet is what do you have in your bag? Which irons have snuck in there, in or out of the bag this year?
So I built a set, and I have not changed this. I can tend to not do. I tend to build only sets when I need to. I am still playing a combo set of Apex Pro and CB. Although I have been planning to start toying with some Ti Fusion in the long irons because they are that good.
I don't know how you don't. Like, access to it, you have to, right? It's curiosity alone.
Yeah. So I'm not going to be switching. I'm a high spin player in general. So spin is, I play the Chrome Tour golf ball instead of Chrome Tour X because of that. I can still back up wedges with Chrome Tour. Sometimes to my chagrin that it's backed up that much. So again, Ti Fusion on the whole would not be a set for me. But those long irons are so easy to get in the air and so forgiving that I need to spend a little more time just to see if one of those might creep in and kick out an Apex Pro long iron right now. But Apex Pro and CB for me, I've got Opus wedges right here, which means I haven't built them yet. So that's my fault. They've been on my desk for, I believe this is week 8 now. Week 7 or week 8 they've been on my desk. So that's more out of just me not getting them built, but those are going in the bag. I've spent some time with them. I'm super excited about the performance, but I'm also been a little lazy getting them built. So I've triple diamond T-Max driver. I've got a mini driver in my bag, which has been just an absolute home run. Apex UW, which I call a 5-foot. I got the 17 degree in, shorter than standard length, just because I'm trying to get the gapping right. And an Apex Pro from, 3-4 years ago is my 3 hybrid, which is actually, and then I, right now, then 5 iron to my longest iron. And because of lengths and lofts, I've got that gapped out pretty well.
Okay. You mentioned ball, and I'm curious about it because ball has to be a massive component of fitting at this point. I know that, let's say, Chrome Soft has changed over time, and mm-hmm. I think you guys have a fairly strong lineup right now that you're pretty proud of. So what's that look like for you?
Well, Chrome Tour has been a huge success. You know, we've had our best market share ever, and not only our best outside of the number one ball in golf, they're still number one. But we, with Chrome Tour and Chrome Tour X, obviously it was super soft and Chrome solved our entire family. We passed over 20% a while back, and no one's had that kind of share in decades. So we are a clear and rising and dangerous number two, which I love. Chrome Tour, Chrome Tour X with Xander's play this year, you know, it's won a couple majors, you know, the success on tour. We had every player, every Callaway player at the Masters this year was playing a Callaway ball, which is, you know, so every, you know, there is no more holdouts. If you're playing Callaway, you're in our golf ball with, I think, one or two exceptions. Everyone who made the Masters, all of our kind of top players have been there. Just really great success across the tours, on the PGA Tour, on the LPGA, on DP. So, you know, from those players whose score is important to them, and, you know, if score is important to you, then almost for sure you should be playing urethane ball. You know, when you go to an ionomer ball, it can perform well, but you're, and I know you're saving money, I understand it can be important for many of you, and I'm not trying to belittle that in any way, but you're getting a trade-off for not playing urethane. And our Chrome Tour and Chrome Tour X have just been phenomenal. I'm going to say it again. If you have not been fit for a golf ball, it is the one piece of equipment you use on every shot. And the differences in spin, especially on irons and also 40 yards in around the green, is significant. And driver off ball, excuse me, ball speed off the driver can also be really significant, several miles an hour, which obviously translates the distance in a big way. So ball fitting is something we continue to push. We've had lots of meetings out recently, hoping to have something out even more robust on that in the near future. But lots of opportunities to get fit for your golf ball, and understand tee to green what's best for you.
Yeah, I played Chrome Tour almost exclusively for the majority of my summer, and had a great time with it. Very consistent all the way through. And in fact, I think it's been pretty consistent since last year when we had a chance to hang out in Frisco.
Yeah.
Mr. Finley dropped one of those little white sleeves of golf balls in my hands to tell me what you think. And from there, it's just a really positive experience. So, you know, it's nice because you are starting to create a very strong legacy of Chrome something, you know, Chrome Soft, Chrome Tour. People have a ton of confidence in moving forward with that model and that lineup as it grows. I love to see that. I haven't seen any sort of dip in the design logic that goes into it, any sort of dip in the confidence that players have had who have been in it, other than other golfers coming in and saying, okay, maybe I need to be a part of this too, which you've clearly represented with your market share percentage.
Yeah, I don't know if we've talked about it on THP. No, I haven't, but we've been running these, what we call the Chrome Tour challenges now. We've run them all over the US and Canada, and it's really as simple. You know, we want people to bring their own driver, their own wedge, their own iron. We have them hit, we go up against the number one ball in golf, and or their gamer ball if they're not playing that, and we show them, you know, hit three shots of driver, hit with that golf ball, hit three shots with this golf ball, hit wedge shots with this, hit wedge shots with that. If they have time to also hit a seven iron, and the ball speed gains off the driver, the spin improvement on irons and wedges is telling. Now, we don't win every one, obviously, because there are different deliveries. I don't know if I'm allowed publicly to say how many we won, so I won't, but I will say it is a significantly way more than 50%. In fact, it's definitely closer to 100 than 50. So, you know, if you have a Chrome Tour challenge in your area, I definitely recommend you sign up for that. It's, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And you can find out for yourself which golf ball is right for you, and not only which golf ball is right for you, but why. What am I gaining by switching to a Chrome Tour, a Chrome Tour X, or a Chrome Soft, depending on your delivery, contact centeredness, spin rate, and everything goes into those decision-making processes. So, and then taking the course. You know, I love the fact there's, you know, some people who are, you know, like, well, I can't switch off a fitting. I need to take the course. I guess I understand that, but if you hit it great in the bay, the chance of you suddenly hitting a poor on the golf course is really small, infinitesimally small, but I get it. So, you know, get a couple sleeves, go out and test it for yourself. Again, we've proven it on tour. We've proven it in countless Chrome Tour challenges, and then anecdotal, like people like yourself who, you know, tested it and have had a great experience with it.
I would say the hard part with golf balls and transitionally from the bay to the course is seeing is believing, and you have to take that leap to really understand it. And what I mean by that is I think a lot of golfers, while they'll trust what is said in a bay and they'll have confidence in purchasing there, it's that first flight, you know, that's that 10th flight. That's seeing the ball in the air, doing what you desire it to do, or, you know, having a 60-yard pitch shot and running one low to see it bite and really grab and do the things you absolutely desire your golf ball to do. It's that added element of confidence that I think a lot of people struggle to get over that hurdle. You know, yeah, I mean? Well,
that's very fair. And obviously how it performs in wind, right? Downwind, crosswind, into the wind. You know, when you got to play it downhill, can you judge the distance? I do know there's a lot that goes into that. I didn't want to belittle that in some way. I guess my point was, you know, people will drop $1,500 on a set of irons.
Right.
They fit, and they're like, whoa, $50 for a dozen balls. Let's tap the brakes here. So it's more along that kind of thinking process that I was commenting on. But we encourage people, again, if you're not confident, buy a couple sleeves, buy one dozen, take it to the course. Again, this goes back into we want you to be confident. We want you to prove it to yourself that we're better. But do that. But yeah, I didn't want to belittle take a course because there is
no my commentary is pure on a stubbornness level from people. Like it's funny, man. Like especially things like tees or shoes or gloves or the things that you go through a little bit faster. Like you have this realm, and by you, I mean the average golfer has this realm that they live in, that they desire. It's like changing that is for some reason in cases more dramatic than putting a new hybrid in the bag or putting a new driver in the bag. It's pretty weird, but I'm guilty of it too. I mean, good and bad.
Well, I went from Chrome Soft XLS, and I'm at probably close to a year. I get access to some stuff earlier than the general public, as you could probably imagine. Mr. Finley was kind enough to get me some Chrome Tour balls many months early. So I've got close to a year of rounds and data on it. And I've been really impressed, again, not only from an anecdotal, but, you know, looking at some data, looking at some specific shots, you know, especially when you compare. If you play the same course, you know, you play, I'm assuming, your club almost all the time. I'm more like once a month as I bounce around to different SoCal courses. But I can still compare, you know, some of those greens and regulation, the clubs hit, some of those consistency numbers, which is fun. I know not everybody has on-course data or wants to do the deep dives that I tend to like to do. But, go hit them.
We all golf differently, my friend. Do you we're sort of wrapping up here. It's been a really fun, interesting conversation today as we wander through some of the new product. Do you have any burning thoughts or questions that you really need to get off your chest?
No, it's been fun. Like I said, it's been a little too long. For all you THPers, again, if you want to throw up the bat signal on the forum, make sure you tag me. I will admit it's been a very busy summer. The last 3 months, maybe actually probably going on four and a half months now, I've been on the forum significantly less than I used to, and quite frankly, that I'd like to. I try to get on the fitting forum every morning and at least scan the top few posts. But if you ever need me, bat phone, tag me. More importantly, get on Twitter, follow me there, post questions there, and always happy to talk and help out. Obviously, my day-to-day job is fitting and the future of fitting and how we help players perform better in general, which is great. Unfortunately, because of that, most of the stuff I work on, I can't talk. Like the stuff I'm working on now, I won't be able to talk about for some time. The stuff that's coming out is now old news to me. So I've got to walk that fine line of making sure. But again, from a product perspective, we're super excited about what Apex brings. But AI Smoke, it's been a great year. We started off talking about that, the success. I just got to give a shout out. Our hybrids this year, from a market share perspective and from an anecdotal from the fitters and from consumers, I know hybrids have been a bit of a downturn. I don't know if globally is the right term. As more and more people have found the love of 7-woods and 9-woods, and I'm not anti 7-wood and 9-wood. I mean, by all means, if it's the right thing for you. But the number of people who've really got into AI Smoke hybrids this year, it's been tremendous in the feedback from fitters. So we've got a great lineup. You know, but we know others work hard on in their teams developing product, and we want to fight them in the fitting bays, right? We want you to get in there and get fit and find out what's best for you, whoever you are. And if you play golf, you're ready to get fit.
Well, let me end this with one final challenge to you, since you're not going to challenge me with anything, which I'm shocked by, for the record.
I'm going to tell you what golf ball you're playing, but you're already in the best ball, so I'm good
there. One of the latest polls you put up there is you're asking what people like to practice the most. I'm curious, from your perspective, what is your favorite thing to do if you've got an extra 30 or 45 minutes at a golf course?
I'm glad you called. It's interesting. I didn't know you were going to ask about that. So I've really got into putting practice. It's kind of started in COVID. I've actually helped a few people out. Some people, you know, liked my setup and had some questions, sent me some things. And putting has become a real strength for me. And if anyone who, any of my Indiana and Illinois friends, meaning more than 5 years old, 5 years ago, who I haven't played golf with, if you're listening to this, they don't believe it, because I was not a good putter. I have never been a good putter until really COVID hit, and I had time and dove deep. So I've actually helped a few people with some drills and some setups. And I actually asked, I pulled to see if there'd be any value in me maybe posting some stuff. So that's a little bit of a tease. When I do have some time coming up here in a couple months, I'm planning to do a little series of putting helpers on the tweeter machine. And but anyway, I love putting practice. One, because I can do it at home, right? I do some stuff on course, and I'll talk about that as well. But you can get really good in a limited amount of time, in a limited amount of space, with a limited amount of investment at home, and really do some things. You know, it's really hard if you're not a member of a private club here in Southern California to even find grass to hit wedges or irons off of. That's extremely difficult. Yes, we can play 12 months a year, but ranges are a struggle bus here for that. So, going to grind on high drawing five irons, I'd love to go do that, but I don't really have a great venue for that right now, and have it for a while. So, you know, putting in short game is fun to grind on. Again, it's stuff that you can do quickly and easily in limited time. And even without having kids at home, me and my wife seem to stay pretty busy, so that time element's still important.
Michael Verska, you are a golfing legend. You know that?
I don't, but every time you say it, it makes me happy. So one more time.
Hey, folks, I hope you enjoyed the chat today. This will be on the THP forum, as well as anywhere you can find podcasts and YouTube now. So you can stare at our goofy looking mugs. Well, my goofy looking mug. This is a handsome man with a fancy goatee. So you got to see that for yourself. But yeah, if you are playing golf and you're playing with something you haven't been fit for, you might want to think about going to get fit. Sounds like Callaway's got a lot of product there ready to put up against anything to see if it works better for your game. So go check that out and come on to THP and tell us all about it. We'll see you next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.